Today we're in a non-series message. I'll tell you a little bit about that in just a moment. Next Sunday, of course, is Father's Day, and I've got three fantastic dads who will be helping me with the message next week, and I think that will be just a lot of fun, a lot of fun. The title of today's message is How Long, O Lord? And today we'll talk about lament. Last couple of weeks, we've really emphasized listening and learning. How about let's add the word lament to that formula as well? You know, N.T. Wright, an internationally known Bible scholar, internationally known theologian, had an article in Time magazine just a few weeks ago about COVID-19. And the title of the article regarding the coronavirus global pandemic was Christianity Offers No Explanations for the Coronavirus. And it's not supposed to. He says, rationalists want explanations. They want an explanation for everything. And romantics just want to be given a sigh of relief. But perhaps what we need more than an explanation and more than a sigh of relief is to recover the biblical tradition of lament. And lament is what happens when people ask why, and they don't get an answer. And he invited us to remember that Christianity, well, he says, it is no part of the Christian vocation then to be able to explain everything that's happening and why. It is part of the Christian life and vocation not to be able to explain everything and to lament instead. But what exactly does it mean to lament? I mean, in the Bible, for example, the book of Psalms, over one-third of the Psalms are lament Psalms. What does it mean to lament? Is it that just a gripe? Just a vent? Well, it's more than that. We'll get to it in just a moment. But I'd like to begin, though, really at the end. With only 8 paragraphs remaining in the Bible, here's what Scripture has to say to us about what we can anticipate in the final chapter. All right? From Revelation chapter 21, beginning verse 1. And by the way, this passage I'm about to read, if you remember the movie Titanic, this passage was actually quoted in the movie. Remember when the movie, when the ship is sinking? You do know the story, right? And so this passage is quoted. Here it is. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And listen to this. You ready? And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And I can hardly wait. You too. I long for that. You long for that. The new heavens and the new earth. But right now, we're in between. Yes, Jesus has come. He's gone to the cross. He's been resurrected. The gift of the Holy Spirit's given for all. The kingdom of God has been inaugurated, but it's not fully consummated just yet. We're in this in-between time where we have the dual experiences of the goodness of God, the love of God given to us, and yet we still are in a time where there is mourning, there is crying, there is pain, there is frustration, there is brokenness. And listen, lament is the language of people who are in on the full story. Lament is the language of people who know the full arc of the gospel narrative. Let me put four words up here on the screen. You know this narrative. Creation. We are created beings. The fall. But then redemption and restoration. We know we're in on the story, on the full arc of the gospel narrative. We know the one who will, in due time, make all wrongs right. But in the meantime, in this between time, we converse with our living God in this in-between world. And I suggest to you that lament is the language for that journey until we get to the final chapter. To be frustrated is human. To be frustrated is part of the human experience. But to lament is Christian. Now, I'm going to read some passages to you. I'm going to read a couple of Psalms. And these are Psalms of lament. You ready? Here we go. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? When was the last time someone started off a prayer in your small group like that? Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Or how about this from Psalm 77? Listen to these six rhetorical questions. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love just vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Let me put another phrase up here on the screen. Lament is the bridge between pain and praise. It's the bridge between frustration and trust. And rather than live in one of two ditches, the ditch of denial, oh, everything's really fine, or the ditch of despair, which is just the hopeless resignation that, you know, God doesn't really care, God doesn't really hear, and nothing is ever going to change. Lament is a pathway to praise. It has a destination in mind. It's not just a cul-de-sac of venting and grumbling. It allows us to vocalize our sorrows, but also not just to vocalize my sorrows. You know, the world's not just all around about me. It's not just all about you. Lament allows me to stand in solidarity and empathize and weep with those who weep. Sometimes I bring my personal pain and frustration to the Lord, but sometimes I feel for another person. I feel for another group of people. I might feel over a specific situation. Lament is the language of people who know the full story. But in the meantime, there's pain, there's frustration, there's brokenness, but we're not just in a cul-de-sac of griping. We're taking this to the Lord. How? What does that look like? Let me put four more words on the screen. Mark Vrogup, in a fabulous book called Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, takes a look at Psalms of Lament. And here were four words that he wrote about. And so I'm going to borrow these four. I think these adequately and so accurately describe what it means to lament. You ready to hear the four words? Turn, complain, ask, trust. Turn, complain, ask, trust. Turn, complain, ask, trust. Let's walk through these. Turn, meaning we're turning to God. I believe that there is a relationship there. You know, Dr. Russell Moore, in his book Adopted for Life, Moore describes going to an orphanage in Russia. He and his wife were looking to adopt a child. But and the particular nursery where they were, he says the silence was eerie. He couldn't believe walking into a nursery and it was so quiet. Not because those babies never needed anything, but because they had just sort of learned that not very many people cared enough to respond to their cries. But children who are confident in a caregiver, they'll cry. And for the Christian, our lament, when taken to our Father in heaven, it's proof that we have a relationship. And it's, as one worship leader says, lament is praise in a minor key. It's true, it's real, it's to Him. But we're turning to God. And secondly, we're going to complain. And some of you are saying, now, Ronnie, I can do that. Now, I can complain. God can handle our complaints, and He's not surprised. I've never brought anything to the Lord and thought He's going, I had no idea. We can complain to Him. Don't complain about God. That's really rebellion. But you are invited to complain to God. That's worship. Lamenting is a form of complaining to God, but it's not just grumbling. A grumbler's already reached a conclusion, and now they're just making accusations. Lamenting is done. It's complaining with a mustard seed of faith that says, God, I trust You so much that I can be honest with You in a way that perhaps I cannot be with anyone else. But you're invited. God says, you turn to Me and you bring it. You bring the complaint. Don't just feel like you need to spew on everybody else. You spew to Me. And then ask. Ask. Lament is prayer for God to ask. And it's one of the most theologically astute things you will ever do. You will acknowledge pain and difficulty and frustration at the same time. It's not either or. At the same time, you acknowledge that God is good. He cares. And you're going to ask Him to act. You see, sometimes people think prayer is passive. All you can do is pray. Prayer is not passive. Many of the laments in the Psalms, they're calls to action. 79 times you'll find the word hear. Shema, hear, in the Psalms of Lament. They're saying, God, are you listening? We're asking You to act here. One of the pictures, one of the Psalms of Lament says, God, would You get Your hands out of Your pockets? Would You do something here? You know, Jesus, when He invited us to pray, it was a call to action. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Would You deliver us from evil? You turn. You complain. You ask. You ask for yourself. You ask for others. You stand in solidarity with anyone who's suffering. You weep with those who weep. It's appropriate. And then also you trust. When you read the Psalms of Lament, when you read lament sections in the Bible, there's always a pivot. You'll come across a word like but or yet. And when we trust, we're part of the rhythm of being a Christian is where we regularly come back to God again and again and we say, I'm going to trust again. All right. I'm going to trust again. You know, marriage is all about re-upping, isn't it? All right. Here we go. I'm here. I'm re-upping. And lament leads us to do that. Lord, in the midst of the brokenness and the frustration, I choose to trust. Last week, Billy, wasn't it Life who led our... one of our prayers last week, and I loved it. He got up here, and he just started his prayer, and he said, God, it's me again. It's me again. Lament says, in the midst of the pain, I turn, I complain, I ask, but I trust. Let me read a couple. Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Will You forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him. And my foes, they'll just rejoice when I fail. But I trust in your unfailing love. And my heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. And now from Lamentations 3, this will really resonate with you. Words from Jeremiah. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall, I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. And Jeremiah says to us here what N.T. Wright was saying earlier. Sometimes we just want a quick fix to a problem. Sometimes there's not a quick fix. And lament gives us the freedom and the opportunity to, first of all, just sit in it and say, God, I'm running to you. I'm complaining about this. I'm asking you to act. I'm not going to be passive. I want to be ready to be your instrument. But I trust that your hands will come out of your pocket in some way. You know, everybody, last couple of weeks, I've asked you to do quite a bit of listening, learning, and today also to lament. But let me just remind you, as you know, so many of us right now, and as our nation is talking about race, racial relationships, racial tensions, and even just relational dynamics between ethnic groups and various cultures, it is important that we be people who listen. Listening to specific people from their specific perspective without being defensive. You know, the Bible says, and this is so wise, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And everybody, all of us, here, we can get better. We can do this. We can get better. We can improve in embracing the oneness that we all share as image bearers of our great God, and the oneness that we share, the partnership in the Holy Spirit, and the bond of peace as members together of the body of Christ. And let's continue to learn. Don't think you've learned it all or heard it all. And one of the resources that we have for you, if you're part of our church family, part of our church village, it's called Right Now Media. And it's a fabulous resource. I hope you take advantage of it. And parents, there are some wonderful resources on there for your children. And this is available for you. You just go to our website, go to the section that says online resources. Click on that, and a number of possibilities will come up. But you'll see one of the resources being Right Now Media. And and they have front and center right now a number of resources dealing with racial relationships. And one in particular I'd like to highlight, because if many of you are familiar with Dr. Tony Evans, he is a fabulous preacher teacher out of Dallas. His son, actually, if you remember, Jonathan, was our speaker last year for our Bring a Friend Day 2019. But he has six-session presentation there on Right Now Media called Oneness Embraced. You know, I'm reading a book right now that I really hadn't heard of until about a week and a half ago. It's called Beyond Racial Gridlock. And it's written by a professor just right up the road at Baylor University. He's an African-American. His wife is not, but he's a sociologist. He's also a very strong Christian. His name is Dr. George Yancey, last name spelled Y-A-N-C-E-Y. And so he writes this book from the from his own human perspective, also from the perspective as a Christian, but also as a professional researcher. And, you know, I'm not quite finished it yet, but I'm learning so much. Let's listen, let's learn, and let's lament as well. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not naive enough to believe that lament is the single solution for all racial tension. There's much work to be done in listening, understanding, addressing points of injustice, and fostering hope. But lamenting is a healthy pathway where people of goodwill can come together and say, in this brokenness, we complain about it. We complain about it to God, and we ask you, oh God, to act. And we believe and trust you'll take your hands out of your pockets and bring forth good. And when it comes to just making things better, everybody, we're up against something that it's going to take the Holy Spirit to really fix and improve. But the Holy Spirit is alive and well and at work. Let's lament where we've had cold, hard hearts and ask God to give us much softer hearts. John Perkins, a civil rights leader and author of the book One Blood, writes, "There is no institution more equipped and capable of bringing transformation to the cause of reconciliation than the church. But we have some continuing hard work to do." And so I encourage you, everybody, to pursue Christ-exalting, gospel-driven, racial and ethnic harmony, especially in the family of God. We can get better at this. Turn, complain, ask, trust. And when we do this, you remember the Bible passage that says, God is a very present help. He is a refuge in times of trouble. Who needs a refuge? The oppressed do, the weary do, the grieving do. We all do. And God says, you come to me. Let me be your refuge. Come to me, especially. We need the Lord all the time, but there are specific times we need him like a harbor in a specific storm. And he re-energizes and he refreshes and he sends us back out as his ambassadors with renewed wisdom and insight and strength. You know, sometimes one of the best benefits of our lamenting, it's a reminder that lamenting is temporary, that Jesus Christ has purchased for us a new heaven and a new earth where you will never, ever hear a lament again. It's called heaven. It is a real place for real people. And the Bible says it is absolutely safe there. And it is open and available to any who would choose to access it through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. My friends, God wants to be a shelter for you in this world and an absolute shelter for you in the next.